Let us pray.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts
be acceptable in thy sight.
O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Have you ever said to yourself, you know, what are you doing here, Alan? Or what's going on? You know, have you ever said that to yourself? You ever asked yourself that question? And after you've spent a little time thinking of that, you've changed what you were doing because of it. Did you ever change after you've asked, like, what's going on here? I am Alan Warren, and today's message is, Who Am I? And I want to thank you for being here today. Thank you for taking the time, for gathering for worship, reflecting on your faith, and meeting with others. Today you will learn quite a bit about these beginning stories in Genesis, and especially what they can tell you about yourself. Who am I? Can I share a little bit with you about me this morning? My story. Thank you. Who am I? I am the youngest of Bob and Fleeta's four children. Therefore, I was the angel, right? You know, the youngest, obviously. Thank you. I grew up in Trinity United in Windsor, and actually the inside of the sanctuary here looks very similar to Trinity. It also was built in the late 50s. I absolutely love the outdoors and see God in creation. And part of that, I think, is a gift from my father, who loved to camp, and we went fishing together a lot. And every year we hit a different provincial park in Ontario. I'm a little handy. I don't want to say a lot, just a little, because I don't want the property committee coming and talking to me, you know. I know how to drive a nail in, that sort of thing. And again, it was from watching my dad and doing things with him. He was very mechanically minded. And as I used to say, if my dad couldn't fix it, throw it out. Because it cannot be fixed. I'm married to Margot and have an early 20s son, Alex. And this ongoing relationship with God thing is very important in my life. And not just because I'm a minister, but because it helps me to love myself. Or maybe I should say be a little easier on myself. My dad was a perfectionist. And when you grow up with a perfectionist, you tend to be very hard on yourself. And when you're hard on yourself, you're often hard on people close to you. So when you learn to love yourself more, you learn and it's easier to love others. My faith has also taught me to want to pitch in and help out, care for others. Because by joining in and doing these things, it adds meaning to my life. It gives me a sense I'm making a positive difference in the world. Now this morning, your question is to ask, who am I? And share with the person around you, someone who might not know you real well, so try and find someone different. Share a little bit about yourself that says who you are. Does that make sense? So if you came with your spouse, try really hard to talk to someone else. Because believe me, they know who you are. Probably better than you know yourself. So anyway, go.
Thank you.
Okay, please stop. I'm amazed at how well you know yourself. Because, wow, there was a lot of chatting going on at fairly high level. So that's awesome. So when you go for coffee today, continue that conversation and find someone you might not know really well and introduce yourself. Say, this is who I am. Have you ever had questions about life? Maybe a few. Who am I? Why am I here? Who created the world? And why is life so difficult at times? Believe it or not, some of these questions are the same ones that the Old Testament writers asked themselves over 2,500 years ago. These first 11 chapters in the book of Genesis have often been entitled prehistory by many scholars. They are not to be read as if someone was recording facts of what happened, scientific facts, but more as parables that Jesus told to try and teach us something about God, something about ourselves, something about the world, and something about the way life is. Stories that give you some answer to that question, who am I? Well, first off, we are told that we are created male and female. And in the Revised Standard Version, I love the phrase, it says that we are all created in the image of God. Isn't that powerful? You are created in the image of God. Now, what do you think that means? In what ways are you created in the image of God? Any ideas? What does that mean for you to know you are created in the image of God?
I used to think that we look
like. You used to think that's what God looked like. Awesome. Anything else? Emotions. Thank you very much. Anything else?
You know right from wrong.
Thank you. No right from wrong. Anything else?
Sentience.
What?
Sentient.
Thinking. Consciousness. Yeah. How about maybe we are loved, cherished, beautiful, mysterious, you know, creative. You know, some have a harder time believing that than others. Did you hear that laughter as soon as I said that about creative? You know. Now, the second thing from this story of Genesis about who am I, and it was mentioned, we have a conscience. We are sentient beings. We have been given freedom. Or the gift to choose. The knowledge of good and evil. Many in their arguments against the existence of God would say, why would God allow such terrible things or bad things to happen in the world? What do you consider one of the most precious gifts of being human? What makes your life worthwhile?
Children.
The ability to love. Thank you. Children. Thank you. Grandchildren. Thank you. Relationships with those grandchildren. Friends. Compassion. Mercy. The gift of love we celebrated on Valentine's Day. Yet without free will, most or none of that, I believe, could exist. What am I?
Robot.
Thank you. I'm a robot. C3PO, isn't that, you know?
C3PO.
R2T3. I'm a robot. God probably could have made a perfect world, but then guess what? What would we be?
Bored.
Thank you. Wouldn't we also be robots? Pre-programmed? All the same? Thank you. Would we have feelings and emotions? No, something we consider one of the greatest gifts of being human. Are any of you Star Trek fans?
Yes.
Thank you. Do you remember Data? The next generation. Remember he was that robot created by someone? What was he? An android. Thank you. Thank you. Correction. He was an android. What was he constantly searching for?
Humanity.
Thank you. He wanted an emotion chip so he could understand humor, learn how to love. He was constantly looking for an emotion chip. John Bradshaw, in his book Homecoming, mentioned how Western families have carried the byproduct of 300 years of rationalism. Rationalism being the belief that reason is supreme and it downplays humanity's emotion side. If everyone could just be more logical and behave like Spock, remember Spock? You know? Then everything would turn out all right. The world's problems would be solved. Yet being able to understand and process our emotions makes us more complete human beings. The fullness of life that Jesus spoke of. Even anger can fuel us to fight injustice. Jesus overturning the money changers' tables in the temple. When you ask for volunteers, what should you look for? If you have a specific task, what should you look for when looking for volunteers?
Willingness.
Willingness, thank you.
Their gifts,
thank you. Gifts and talents. You ask people who have some passion about whatever you're asking them to do. Because that passion for it will drive them and give them the energy to see that task through. Do you remember the tree whose fruit that Adam and Eve ate? Apple, thank you. It's many of us believe that, don't we? Because it's in most of the pictures. Was it an apple?
No.
No, apples get a bad rap in that. It was the tree of the knowledge of
good and evil.
Absolutely. Do you remember the phrase, curiosity?
Kills the cat.
Absolutely. Thank you. Did your mother ever tell you not to touch a certain vase? Were you ever told not to touch a certain vase or lamp? You know? Did you touch it?
Yes.
Of course. Did anybody here ever break it?
Yes.
Some said yes. Thank you. Did you die the next day? Because isn't that what was in the story, right? If you touch it, surely you will die the next day. You know? Now, I never touched the vase or broke the vase. Of course, as I said, I was a good kid. But I touched one of my mom's figurines, and I broke it. And she, of course, told me, don't touch it or you're going to die. Am I still here? Guess who now has that figurine? It was in my mom's china cabinet. It's now in our china cabinet. And if you look at it really close, you know what you'll notice?
Cracks.
Cracks, exactly. My dad was really good, and he glued it back together again. You know? Absolutely amazing. These beginning stories in Genesis help to explain the human condition. Who am I? Why is it so hard to organize and get good things to happen in the world? Remember about Adam? You know, what was his curse? He's going to have to work hard for the rest of his life to get the soil to produce anything good to eat. And I think that's a good illustration of any time we want something good to happen in the world, it takes a lot of energy to go into it to make it happen. It just doesn't happen on its own. What happens on its own? What did the soil produce? Weeds, thank you, and thorns. Chaos. These stories are not to be taken literally. They are archetypal stories. Archetype. Do you know what an archetype is? Okay. It's like a pattern. Okay? These aren't stories to explain so much what happened to the first ancestors, but what happens to each and every one of us. We go through these things. Last week, and Margo went down to Kingsville, our flower girl has a son, Logan, 6 months old. Do you remember what children start to do around 6 months? Thank you, crawl, sit up, roll over, you know. Do you remember those stages? Do you remember children trying to do them? They would try over and over and over again until they got it right. Were they curious? Yeah. They kept going all over the place. What separates you and I from the animal world? Opposable thumbs. Thank you. I appreciate that. I didn't think of that one. Self-consciousness. Thank you very much. Consciousness. Knowing that difference between good and evil. Do you know which part of our bodies is least understood? The brain. At a continuing education event I went to, the speaker said this fact, which wowed me. I don't know where he got it from. He says, do you know that there are more neurons in the brain than there are stars in the sky? Even if that fact is even close to right, think of that. More neurons in the brain than there are stars in the sky. Wowzers. The Hebrew writers knew that the gift of knowledge or curiosity was essential to life and growth. And this story in Genesis isn't against knowledge, but a warning against knowledge that leads to fig aprons. If you touch it, you won't die. You will become like God. You will become like God. Figs being aprons, being the leaves Adam and Eve clothed themselves with. Knowledge that leads us to think that either we are gods or that we can live without God. Knowledge without sound judgment can lead to things like nuclear weapons, holes in the ozone layer, and nowadays we're talking about end of life. We're talking about when we use genetics modifications, not just on plants, but also for people, different diseases. Wow. Knowledge, judgment. Who am I? That second story we read from Genesis today speaks of the loss of innocence. To learn there are consequences to choices we make individually and collectively, and those choices have an effect not only on our life, but also the garden in which we live. What does it mean to be human? Who am I? This story from Genesis also tells us part of being human is brokenness. Has anyone here ever been broken? Yeah, brokenness. Broken bones are the easy part when you rode your bike too fast or an ATV and it tipped over. The harder part isn't broken bones, but broken hearts. Thank you. The storyteller's companion to the Bible said that God is the only speaker in this first chapter of Genesis. Our words have power, just as God's word. God spoke, things came into being. Our words have power, power to hurt, power to heal. Wounded hearts, emotions, we struggle with what to do with them and how to deal with them. Yet with practice we can. Some people even journal to write things out so they can then better know how to speak and approach someone. Knowing your triggers, knowing when to take deep breaths. Calm down, Al. Calm down, Al. Have you ever had to do that? Okay. Absolutely. Mercy and compassion. Who am I? I will make mistakes, but when I take responsibility for my actions and say I'm sorry and not pass the buck, you know, the woman made me do it, the snake made me do it or tricked me, but take ownership for how I feel, how I express things, what I do, I can discover the richness of being human. Created in God's image. Part of is that emotional side of who we are. Loved and cherished, grounded and rooted in community. And I firmly believe that when you remain rooted and I remain rooted in a faith community, which for us is the church, and struggle with those ancient texts in the Bible, that you can discover tools you need to help you deal with your own brokenness, but also the brokenness of our world. Brokenness between peoples and between humanity and the environment. When we struggle with what it means to be human, who am I, in this crazy mixed up world, we can discover, or maybe I should say uncover. Remember archaeologists, they slowly scrape away the dirt? And we can discover again the fact that as it says in Genesis, and behold, it is very good. Even in the midst of our brokenness, this world community is still very good. Thanks be to God. Amen.